views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the leading edge of personal, social, and global transformation, the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, is making connections that inspire and accelerate individual collective awakening. Dr. Julie is joined by visionary leaders and changemakers from around the world to explore social change, the generative powers of conscious, co-creative practice, and what's emergent with health, science, spirituality, and the evolution of consciousness. Break through the illusion of separation, explore the infinite field of possibilities, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Here's your host, Dr. Julie Kroll.
Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, right here on Transformation Talk Radio. Hey, as you join us here today, we have a wonderful conversation coming up with the most amazing topic. And right here every Tuesday on the Dr. Julie Show, we have some of the world's leading visionaries and experts helping you to explore your interconnected world. We're connected to self, spirit, nature, community, maybe even business this week. There's a hint for you. And all things working in the world. So speaking of what's working, imagine discovering an economic model based on service and selflessness. I'm interested. How about you? And imagine discovering what is positive and productive about capitalism, and then applying it to your life and your business. And then imagine living and working alongside Trappist monks for nearly two decades. I am so intrigued by our guest. I'm going to invite you to take a few deep breaths, bring your awareness into this moment, open your mind, connect with your heart, and hopefully expand into your greatest potential as I introduce August Turek. He's a successful entrepreneur, a corporate executive, an award-winning author who attributes much of his success to living and working alongside the Trappist monks of Mepkin Abbey since 1996. As a frequent monastic guest, he learned firsthand from the monks as they grew an incredibly successful portfolio of businesses. Service and selflessness are at the heart of this 1,500-year-old monastic tradition's remarkable business success. It is an ancient, though immensely relevant, economic model that preserves what is positive and productive about capitalism, while transcending its ethical limitations and internal contradictions. He's a storyteller, I tell you. So not only combining his case studies, he's an amazing storyteller. He combines these case studies from his 30-year business career with intimate portraits of the monks at work. He shows how Trappist principles can successfully be applied not only to secular business settings, but our own personal lives as well. I want to welcome with a warm, hearty welcome, August Turek. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Dr. Julie, for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I am really happy to have you here. And I have to tell you some of my selfless motivations for this. My husband is a businessman, and many of the people in my life are in business. And I come from a whole different part of the work with the healing and the spirituality and working with the soul. And so this is kind of fun because we're combining them. And now I get to hand your book to so many people I love and respect. And they're going to be grateful because I already handed it to one person. And he said, can I take it home? And I said, nope, not till after my show. So I'm so happy to have you here. And August, one of our traditions here on the show, I like to start us off by talking about really bringing these functions together, this unity consciousness. And so I like to get different people's perspectives. So before we dig into the book and the business secrets of the Trappist monks, Why don't you share with our listeners, what does All Things Connected mean to you?
Well, what All Things Connected means to me is, I remember the Eastern sage, one of their old aphorisms was, first learn to think of all things, then learn to think of one thing, and then learn to think of nothing. And to me, what that means is that everything goes back to the one source. And that so much of the division, I remember Houston Smith had a wonderful, one of his books talking about, he used the image of the sun and the rays of the sun coming out. And when you look at everything from the perspective of each individual ray, you start thinking, well, there's a lot of different things going on here. But when you realize there's only one sun that's generating all this diversity, you realize that everything returns to the one source. And that's what it means to me.
Mm. Thank you. That was lovely. That was so nice. And it's wonderful hearing you talk like this. You've been such a successful entrepreneur with that executive mind. You've been very successful. And here comes this amazing book published by Columbia Business School called Business Secrets of the Trappist Monk. Why don't you help set the stage for our listeners? How the heck does this successful business entrepreneur get to an abbey? And tell us about that. How to start?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, I have to set the stage a little bit. I wrote an article. I write for Forbes.com on leadership issues. And one of my recent articles was an article called What Every Leader Must Know About Personal Development. And in it, I said the most difficult question I've been asked, and I've done many, many interviews since my book was published. I'm very grateful to say that my book has been very successful. And the question that people have asked me a lot on podcasts especially is, what do you do for personal development? And I said in my article that the reason why that is a difficult question is because it implies that I do personal development, that I'm into spirituality, or I go to see the monks, or I read the books about Eastern philosophy, or whatever it is, because I want to be better at business. And I said in my article, I said, I went into business as a form of personal development. I always saw business as a tremendous way for me to find out about myself and other people under the pressure of the economic considerations. You know, there's an old saying that money talks and everything else walks. And I find that when people are under the pressure of financial decision-making, when there's money on the table, so to speak, you get the real person comes out. You know, David Brashear said the same thing about high-altitude mountain climbing. He says the dangers of high altitude mountain climbing reveal who you really are. The pressures, he said, of high altitude mountain. He said there's no more time for games. There's no more time for pretense. You become who you really are under that kind of pressure. And I always found the pressure of business revealed to myself who I was, what were my real values. So anyway, to cut it short, I wanted to always have seen business as an incubator for it was a form of spiritual work for me. So I got interested in Zen in 1972. I actually dropped out of college for 5 years to work with a Zen teacher. I went to work for Lewis Mobley as his student. He was the founder of the IBM Executive School. But I found Lou Mobley and got a tremendous business education because I went looking for him for spiritual reasons. So the way I met the monks was that I was actually doing coaching for college students as a avocation that I always did, even though I was in business. I would always help college students on a volunteer basis on spiritual issues. And they got me to go, these Duke students got me to go skydiving. And I jumped out of an airplane. And as I like to say, I was brave enough to jump out of an airplane, but not brave enough to tell the kids I thought I was too old to be jumping out of an airplane. And I smashed my ankle, and I started having these panic attacks. And in the hospital, and I gradually realized I was facing my own mortality, and I started into what the mystics would call kind of a 2-year dark night of the soul. And right at the a few months after that, one of my students called me up and he said, "I just want you to," and his name is Josh. He said, "I want you to know that I'm doing something. I'm taking your advice." And I said, "What advice?" He said, "You told us to do something with our summer vacation besides drink beer, and I'm at a Trappist monastery." And it was just something called Methkin Abbey in South Carolina, and it was just something about his voice, I don't know what, came over me, and I just said, I have to come. When can I come? And he went and came back 5 minutes later and said, "Brother John said you can come this weekend." and that was 1996. So I didn't go down there for business reasons. I went down there for profound religious, personal, spiritual reasons. And so the business education I got that I built into my book 15 years later, Business Secrets of the Trappist Monks, is a byproduct of a spiritual vocation. And that is really at the center of my book as well. Whether you want to call it spiritual or something else, I call selflessness, that the most successful people are successful in business as a byproduct of living their life for a higher purpose.
Mm, I love that, being a byproduct of that. That is a beautiful place for us to break. We need to take a quick break. You're going to find out so much more about what he learned and this beautiful byproduct that's emerged from this experience as soon as we come back. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Transformation Talk Radio's amazing hosts span from the Pacific to the Atlantic coast. With a world full of loyal fans, what's stopping you from joining our clan? Bring your powerful message to listening ears. We've been helping people do this for many years. Want to make a difference? We can help you out. Just give us at Transformation Talk Radio a shout. It's easy to get started with an email so small to host@transformationtalkradio.com, and then we'll give you a call.
Want to experience a deeper spiritual connection, reduce stress, and overcome anxiety? You can take control of your life now with the power of meditation. Let Jennifer Farmer, gifted intuitive, medium, and spiritual teacher, show you how easy it is to develop your natural intuitive gifts, manage chronic pain, and live abundantly with a consistent meditation practice. Sign up now for Jennifer's newsletter at jenniferfarmer.com to receive a free healing meditation and watch her free instructional videos at jenniferfarmer.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to lightbearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Get Into It, Winning at the Game of Life, with intuitive energy healer and medium Lynn Brown on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to bring the magic of soul into every aspect of your life. Learn how to use spirit tools and experience the immediate connection with yourself as a spiritual being with natural spiritual abilities as you are guided on the pathway to success and joy. Visit ruintuit.com. That's the letter R, the letter U, intuit.com. And get into it now.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show. This is Dr. Julie Kroll. My guest today is August Turek, and we're talking about Business Secrets of the Trappist Monks. And I want to make sure that you listeners get to learn some of these secrets. So we need to dig in. You talked, August, about really your quest for meaning and authenticity, and this journey led you to these secrets. And I love how really your work is a spiritual practice. I love that. But some of the things that you learned are broken into chapters in your book, but really all of them really kind of meld together in a beautiful story, and you're a really good storyteller. But why don't we just start with what's at the core. And you refer to the selflessness and the community as an important part of this core. Talk about that, would you?
Well, absolutely. I think there's a core philosophy to my book, which is the core of the Trappist tradition, and that is that we, when you look at life, or even to look at your own life, we very quickly seem to think intuitively that the way I can get happiness, fulfillment, whatever it is through through getting my selfish goals accomplished. When actually I talk about movies and storytelling and Joseph Campbell a lot in the book, and really try to make the argument that really what we're really looking for is selflessness. We're really happiest when we're giving ourselves away. We're happiest when we're sacrificing for something worthwhile. We're happiest when we're losing ourselves in a task, when we're lost in thought. We have all these things, even in the English language, that indicate that we really are happiest when we're giving, not receiving. And as a matter of fact, the English language talks about self-consciousness. And when we talk about self-consciousness, and your show is built around consciousness, when you talk about self-consciousness, they're all negative connotations. When you're self-conscious, you stammer. When you're self-conscious, you can't get out of your own way. When you're overly self-conscious, you can't enjoy a party. You can't enjoy making love. You're stuck. And so we're really trying to get to a more transcendent point of view to what I identify with more of a spontaneity. Spontaneity is when we forget about ourselves and get out of our own way, and that's when we're at peak performance. So I say in the very first chapter of my book, I said I'm going to be very, very dogmatic. I said, even though being dogmatic is very much out of style today, that the purpose of every human life, whether you agree with me or not, whether you realize it or not, is to be transformed from a selfish to a selfless human being.
And you know, right there, August, if I can interrupt you for a second, I think this is a really important point to just kind of spend a moment and rest here, because just to even clarify a little bit, I get this a lot. I see this a lot on social media and places where people go, no, I've spent my life giving and giving and giving, and I'm not taking care of me. But we're really not talking about that martyrdom of selflessness of I just give everything. There's something about giving ourselves to the greater good, that community, the collective, that whole seeing ourselves in relationship to something bigger than ourselves that really moves us to a different kind of selflessness that's not just I take care of everybody else and my needs come last, so I'm totally spent and I'm not okay. How would you explain that?
I think you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you decided to stop and rest on that point, because it's an excellent, excellent point. First of all, you know, if somebody's a true martyr, and we've all met these kinds of people, you know, it's the classic Jewish mother type thing, you know, who's always complaining that I do, and nobody does for me. Well, when you really see these kinds of people, that's actually very selfish. They're very self-indulgent in their complaining. These are extreme cases. Mm-hmm. Then there's the kinds of people who don't understand that taking care of themselves, you know, if you die, then you can't be selfless if you're dead, or you're exhausted all the time. So when a mother and a father have a date night and they go out on Thursday night in order to refresh their batteries for their children's sake, they're not being selfish, they're being selfless. So there's a lot of that, too. But I think what you're referring to, and what I'm really referring to, is you look at every religious tradition taught, whether, you know, nirvana. Nirvana, the word nirvana, for example, in Buddhism actually means extinction. Well, what is being extincted? The self, the ego. In the Christian tradition, you know, St. Paul talks about Jesus' kenosis. It's a Greek term, which means self-emptying. So at the very highest levels, I could go on and on with my examples, I'll stop there. But in every religious tradition, there's this idea that we're all working towards, and we talked about it at the very top of the hour, getting away from our own individuality and seeing that we're part of something much greater and something bigger. And that's what we mean by, that's what you and I believe mean by selflessness, not just, you know, always feeling guilty so that you give all the time until you're, and I also think that those who give get. So, you know, I do live on a 75-acre farm, and my car's not brand new, but it's not a junker either, and there's no reason why I have to be, you know, suffering in sackcloth and ashes all the time either. So I believe that this stuff comes as a byproduct, as a happy accident of giving. And to me, this is fundamental to business as well. And this is what I'm always preaching. You know, again, we need to stop and think. So if we stop and think about business, for example, every great salesman, and I was a good enough salesman that I found myself on the cover of Selling Magazine, so I think I do have some authority to say what I'm about to say. Every great salesman knows that the more he forgets about himself, forgets about his product, forgets about his commission, and forgets about his quota, and focuses fanatically on selflessly serving his customers' needs, the more sales he makes, the easier he makes his quota, et cetera, et cetera. Every corporation should know that the more they forget about profit and fanatically focus on selflessly serving their customers, the more profit they make. And every leader should know, every great leader knows, that the more he focuses on making other people successful, not himself, but more he's fanatically focused on other people's success, the faster he gets promoted himself. So these are just several examples that I can show that fundamentally, that really the authentic, what I call authentic capitalism, is based on selfless motivations. And the most successful people, in business, understand that it's selfless. I realize in my own career, for example, that the more and I don't know exactly when it happened. Well, it took a lot of work, but somewhere along the line, with the help of the monks or something, it happened. I now get most of my pleasure, if not all of my pleasure, out of seeing other people succeed with my help. And the more I've become that kind of person, the more successful I've become. So the monk, and this is the secret to the monk's success. They live and breathe this thing of selfless service. You look at the mission of the monastery. What is the mission of a traveler? It's to serve God, to serve their fellow man, and to serve each other in community. You know, there's an old, you know, it's a cliche, it's a horrible cliche, but there's no I in team. But there's no me in the mission of the Trappist monks. But as a result, they have extremely happy customers, repeat customers, people that will die for them. Tremendous. They sell mushrooms and eggs and fertilizer and all these things, and people are just, you know, fanatical about them. You know, and their selflessness shows up in the quality and the care. And I say they, in my book, I say they do everything with a prayerful attitude. Because they're in a sense, not in a sense, for them, they're offering everything up to God. But, you know, again, we don't have to be strictly religious or Christian or Catholic to understand that, you know, I say in my book, you know, you can take it literally if you're so inclined, or you can take it as a metaphor if you're not. But the more, if you seek first the kingdom of transformation, of giving, then everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah, you know, August, there's this synergistic relationship between these two words, which is a really important lesson in your book. There's this synergistic relationship between the service and the selflessness and the service. It's like you can be selfless, but it's really in that giving to that greater good, that greater whole, the community that seems to really pop the power into the punch of this one lesson.
Absolutely, and the reason for me that these two words have, and I have to be, for full disclosure, I don't think I disclose it in my book, but I first encountered this whole idea of selflessness from my Zen teacher. He's the one that gave me those two words. But the way I look at it, you know, Aristotle says we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is not a choice, it's a habit. And I put on my Facebook page a lot. I said, in the long run, it doesn't matter what we think, what we feel, or what we say. In the long run, we are the sum total of our decisions in life. And by their fruits you shall know them. And so I talk a lot about the becoming process, that you don't learn to be selfless. You know, Malu Mobley, who founded the IBM Executive School, used to pound the table and say, you don't learn to be a great leader. You become a great leader. And I spend a good deal of time in my book talking about transformation and about the hero's journey and the ultimate kind of transformation. There's three kinds. There's transformation of condition. There's transformation of circumstance. But the highest form is a transformation of being. It's the kind of transformation that Mr. Scrooge goes through on Christmas Eve, where he wakes up the next morning an utterly new man. He's not even, he's like a caterpillar that has become a butterfly. And this transformation to selflessness takes place through a habit of service.
Mm. Yeah, it becomes a practice, doesn't it?
It's a practice.
It's a practice.
Absolutely, and that's how business can very well become a practice.
Wow.
I talk about my the test that I had that I faced when I had my own. I had two businesses, as a matter of fact, and in my book, and I talk about that when somebody offered to buy my business, and we decided to give our employees 5% of the proceeds, and how the people that were buying the business tried everything they could to stop us from doing that because they were afraid it was going to hold up the transaction for too long, and about how me and my partners stood our ground and insisted, even if the deal was going to break up and we weren't going to get millions of dollars, we insisted that our employees, get their share.
Mm. See, there's that practice of excellence again. I hate to interrupt you. We need to take a station break, but I'd love to talk more about this excellence and really, really the integrity of it. Because, wow, what an example you just shared. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, more with August Turek and the business secrets of the Trappist monks.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Torella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Torella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Torella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Torella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
Central Auto Group in Plainfield, your number one buying destination and the home of Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, and Volkswagen, is giving you a guaranteed $3,500 on your trade. Push, pull, or tow it to Central and get $3,500. CentralAutoGroupCT.com. A new Ford Focus, Mazda 3, Hyundai Elantra, or Volkswagen Jetta for as low as $99 a month. America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. CentralAutoGroupCT.com. Why shop anywhere else when you can get the best brands at one location? Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, Volkswagen. Over 600 vehicles to choose from and hundreds of pre-owned. We are never undersold or give you $2,000. Open 7 days a week, and we have the best service. Now open Saturdays, 7:30 to 4:30. We service all makes and models. Get a guaranteed $3,500 on your trade now through the end of August. CentralAutoGroupCT.com. On August 31st from 11 to 4, don't miss our huge Ford Car and Truck Show. Bring your Ford and win great prizes. CentralAutoGroupCT.com. Exit 87, I-395, Plainfield, 860-564-4014.
Central Auto Group.
All provisions apply. See for details.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, and this is Dr. Julie Kroll. I am talking today with August Turek, the author of Business Secrets of the Trappist Monk. And before we go right back where we were, August, I want to make sure that our listeners know how to find you. Do you want to share your website, any other contact information?
Sure. You can find me at AugustTurek.com. That's August like the month, T as in Tom, U-R-A-K. T-U-R-A-K, all one word, AugustTurek.com. You can also find me on Forbes.com. I write on leadership. It's called Service and Selflessness at Work, is the name of my column on Forbes.com. And you can find me on Facebook and Twitter as well. So, and I'm happy to have more friends on Facebook. I use my Facebook page to more to throw out philosophical things than show pictures of my kittens.
Well, I am connected with you there, and I always enjoy even reading some of your articles on the Forbes and keeping up with you and of course referring you to a lot of my business friends. So right before the break, you were talking about this service and selflessness piece of really selling these huge corporations and really sticking to the integrity of wanting to give back to the people. And it reminded me of your chapter on excellence and how do we live in that integrity and create that excellence. And you had mentioned that earlier too. So let's talk about excellence. Tell us about it. What is excellence, and what did you learn from the Trappist monks on that?
Well, you know, I think if I recall in the chapter of my book, I started that chapter by talking about being in grade school and how the nuns that used to teach me in my Catholic grade school were always telling me whenever I complained to offer things, offer it up, just stop complaining and offer it up. And I used to wonder, you know, what were they talking about? You know, somehow or another, does God like me to suffer, you know, or something like that? But to me, I think that it really goes back, what they were talking about was more what Aristotle's talking about. Excellence is its own reward. And I tell a story in my book about a sales contest that I held one time, and I challenged the whole sales force and one person had to say, I'm going to be the top gun, and I'm going to beat everybody else in this course and in this contest. And this young man stepped forward and accepted the challenge, and he was the last person I thought would accept the challenge because he was up to that point, he was a very poor salesman. He was just hanging on by his teeth. And anyway, he went out in the next week or so. He won that contest by just, you know, becoming very passionate. And after that, he was always the number one or number two salesman. And so I couldn't understand it because he didn't have the natural skills. So I asked him finally one day, and I said, you know, what was his secret? And he said, Augie, once you know what it feels like to be your best, you never want to go back.
Mm.
And I think the monks do everything for excellence for the sake of excellence. because doing it right, doing it the way it's supposed to be, I mean, if nothing else, having a clear conscience, knowing you treated your customer the right way, knowing that you're, you know, it's my old, one of my old bosses who I respected so much, he said, you know, Augie, in the final analysis, you know, it all comes down to that guy that you have to face in the shaving mirror every day. The person you're looking at in the mirror as you shave, your self-respect, and so doing things excellently. And with the monks, it eventually becomes just like Aristotle says, excellence is not a choice, it's a habit. So the monks end up doing everything in an excellent way, and it doesn't even occur to them to cut corners, to take shortcuts, because they're not in it for the quarterly profit, for the thing that they're going to get today, for the new car or something like that. They're in it for the long haul. They're in it for something bigger, and it ends up being excellence for the sake of excellence.
This is one of those resting points again, because I think this is so important for people in business right now. We've come centuries of this ego learning how to compete and how to get to the top and climb to the top and having this patriarchal top-down dominator model. And what we see around us now is the breakdown of this. And yet, what do you say? What does leader, inspirator, amazing teacher August, what do you say to these guys that are going, yeah, right, you know, I know how to get to the best, I know how to get to the top, I know how to make that profit, and the bottom line is all that matters. How what do you say to them?
You're fired.
Okay, let's teach this. Now, what do you say to the other CEOs?
I think my great advantage is I don't preach. I said, I sold my companies. Eventually my companies were sold for $150 million in cash. You know, I've been on the cover of Selling Magazine. I mean, I'm writing for Forbes.com. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not some tree hugger that came down off of a Mount Olympus yesterday with this naive notion that we all should just love each other. I'm not Rodney King from L.A. saying, why don't we all just learn to get along? This stuff works, and I'm giving you the case studies in my book about just exactly how it works. Now, I'll give you another example that I use on people like that. I said, listen, sooner or later, every leader realizes that the vast majority of people he depends on for his success do not report to him. Let's take even the example of a CEO who we would think is at the very top of the pyramid. Yes, everybody within his organization more or less directly or indirectly reports to him. So yes, theoretically, he can even fire somebody way down in the mailroom. But those people, I don't care whether he's got 50,000 employees, those aren't the people he needs most of all. He's got a million stockholders. Do they report to him? No. He's got Wall Street analysts. Do they report to him? No. He's got government regulators. Do they report to him? No. And most importantly, he's got hundreds of millions of customers. And do they report to him? No. So sooner or later, you realize that you can't just kick butt and take names. Leadership and success require persuasion, and persuasion requires trust. People need to trust you. That's the most powerful thing on the planet. It's not money. It's not even sex. It's trust. And how do you get trust? You get trust by being selfless. Because I use the example in my book of the corporate statesman. It doesn't matter whether you're in sales or whether you're in marketing or whether you're in finance. If you get a reputation as being a statesman, a person who puts the interest of the whole, interest of others in front of your own interest or your own department's interest, people trust you. They come to you. And you end up having all this informal power because people will trust you. A real quick example of that is I was working for a company a few years ago for the CEO of the company hired me, and they were moving to bigger offices, and the vice president of sales came to me, and he said, can I get your advice? And I said, sure. And he said, they're not planning on giving me an office. they want me to just sit with all the other salesmen. They said, I'd like to have an office. What do you think? And I was astounded. Why was I astounded? Because he knew darn right well that the CEO had hired me, that the CEO was paying me, and yet he believed that I would give him my objective advice regardless, that I was, even though I was getting well paid by the very man who was not giving him an office, he knew that I would tell him the truth and I wouldn't just give him the party line. He trusted me. And therefore, when I did tell him that I didn't think he really should have an office, that I wouldn't want one if I was in his case, he was satisfied and went away. And that was truly, I gave him the truth advice, not because the guy who was paying me. I could give a lot of other examples, and I do in my book. We need to have trust. And no matter what you're doing, you're always in the persuasion sales business. Even a mother who is trying to get her kids to eat, her baby to eat green beans, has to be persuasive. And when and the persuasion relies on trust. And
The thing that's beautiful about this is that it's not a manipulative persuasion. It's not like I'm going to trick you into believing something. You're really persuasive by being authentic and transparent and trustworthy.
And let's come back around to that. If I'm dealing with one of these people in business that you were just referring to who say, oh, this is all a bunch of crap, I'm going to say, hey, business 101 is that your customers are a heck of a lot smarter than you think than you may think they are. And if you try to hoodwink your customers, they're going to catch up. They're going to catch on eventually, and you're going to go out of business.
Mm.
And when you try to manipulate people, you add insult to injury because you're treating them like they're stupid. And people aren't stupid. And you don't need to believe that on faith. That's what's great about business.
Yeah.
You can see that when you tell people the truth, they buy your product. When you try to con them, they don't buy it.
Yeah. We need to take another quick break. When we come back, there's going to be a little bit more. I want to talk about what does faith have to do with any of this. So stay with us. We're talking with August Turak, Business Secrets of the Trappist Monk. We'll be right back.
To The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Do you seek direction in the world of cares? Countess Starella, the amazing clairvoyant, can help you. Love and romance are her specialties as she tunes in to your life. Is this your soulmate? Ask Countess Starella direct. Born in New Orleans, Starella is a lifelong naturally gifted mystical lady with an incredible ability to see the future for you. Starella has been featured on many international television channels and for years had her own show in Japan. Her European TV credits include a series of two-hour specials for Network TV3 in Ireland. Countess Starella is currently featured here on Transformation Talk Radio in a weekly show, Psychic World, each Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. You can consult Countess Starella personally on the brilliant website of Aranum.com. Just search for Countess Starella. There you can speak direct with the wonderfully gifted mystical lady herself, the amazing Countess Starella, on Aranum.com. That's Aranum.com.
Galios miso dressings are delicious and made with only the finest, freshest, and all-natural ingredients. Galios miso dressings are low in fat, sugar, salt, and carbohydrates. They do not contain any artificial ingredients or any wheat, eggs, vegetable gums, or MSG. What they do contain is astonishing flavor and silky texture that can only come from using premium quality ingredients. Order online with free shipping at www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOS cafe.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
We are back on the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, right here on Transformation Talk Radio. Hey, visit our website, thedrjulieshow.com. We have an incredible lineup coming this fall and so happy to have some amazing guests. So go there and check out the upcoming shows, and then you can find all the archives there, links to the archives so you can re-listen to your favorites. And stay connected all week on our Facebook page, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie, where we continue the conversation. And I want to remind you all how to get a hold of August before we conclude the show here today. You can find him at augustturak.com. That's August, spelled like the month. T as in Tom, Turek.com, AugustTurek.com. You can also find him on Twitter and Facebook, so go check it out. August, right before the break, we were talking about, well, lots of good things, and your experience blows me away, but one of the chapters that I think is interesting, and I want to make sure we get this in here, because we're really talking about how do we bring the essence of who we are into the business world. And we're really talking about living our vocation, really living our purpose through vocation. And then you have this little chapter called, What Does Faith Have to Do with It? Let's talk about that. What does faith have to do with it?
Well, to me, it has everything to do with it. But I do make a distinction between what we usually think about in terms of faith. And religious faith, for example, is usually defined by propositions. Do you think Mary was the mother of God or not? If you say yes, then you know why, and I ask you why, it's because I have faith that Mary was. So it's belief in these propositions and statements of fact, statements of fact that we may not be able to prove, but we still believe, and that's faith. And of course, the monks are Catholic, so they certainly have their faith. But what I emphasize in that chapter more is faithfulness, living faithfully, making decisions that may not seem to make a lot of sense. I tell the story, for example, in my book about it was where I get a telephone call. I was living down here in North Carolina. I wasn't actually working at the time, and I was between jobs, and I had just given me. Four students at North Carolina State University, I told them that I would coach them on spirituality for free on a voluntary basis. And then I get a telephone call from a friend of mine, Joe, and he says, guess what, Augie? He said, I've become CEO of United Press International, and we're going to bring it out of bankruptcy. I have $150 million to spend. I'm getting the band to get together, so Gary Neubert and Pat Grotto and Perry Miles are all on board. And we need you, and I want you to be executive vice president, reporting directly to me. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you're going to make a boatload of money, but there's one thing, you've got to move to Washington, D.C. And I said, Joe, I can't move to Washington, D.C. He said, why? I said, because I just promised these four kids that I would coach them on spirituality. And he said, what are you talking about? You're going to turn down a dream job for these four snot-nosed kids, you know, who will be gone tomorrow? He said, you know, if you really got to do that stuff that you do, then do it up here. We got American University in Georgetown. He said, you know, do it up here. And I said, I got a better idea, Joe. Why don't we move the UPI to Raleigh, North Carolina? And he said, oh, my wife Molly would never go for that. And I knew Molly very well. And I said, oh, Joe, I said, there's plenty of girls down here. So we laughed about that. And I turned the job down. And it turned out to be, you know, and I was very, very, you know, depressed about it. I mean, it seemed like, you know, it was a dream job, blah, 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 blah. But I did it because I had given my word, and my word was my promise. and to these four kids, to me, were symbolic of the higher purpose in my life. And I did it because I just had faith that if I did this, that everything would work out somehow in a way I couldn't understand. So in other words, I was living faithfully. Well, the way it all turned out is I ended up starting my own business, and I got, sold it, did very well. UPI went bankrupt a couple years later. My friend actually went personally bankrupt. So you don't know how things are going to work out. You can't anticipate, but all you can do, the quote that I come back to in that chapter a lot, the problem with life is we must live it forward, but only understand it backward. We want to reverse that. We want to know that if I do this, this, and this, that it's going to end up being this. But no, you live your life according to higher values, according to your, you started your show by saying, let's talk about the higher good. And then you let the chips fall where they may. And your faith is in the fact that it's going to work out exactly the way it should. And in the last chapter of my book, I said, I've never had a plan for my life, but I always had a mission. I wanted to be the best person I could possibly be. And when I look back, all these wonderful things, I won the Templeton Prize. I won $100,000 for an essay. I'd never written anything in my life. I wrote it in a weekend. I submitted it. I called Brother John about one of the monks, and I win $100,000. And my brother was an attorney. He said another attorney asked, he told the story, and the other attorney said, you mean to tell me your brother never wrote anything? He whips off an essay in a weekend, and he wins $100,000. And my brother Chris said, yeah, that's the way it happened. He said, wow, is your brother lucky? He said, and my brother Chris said, no, you don't understand. My brother Augie's been working on that essay for 35 years. But everything that's good that's ever happened to me, selling my company, starting my company, winning the Templeton Prize, even my book, is a complete, it's all been luck. It's all been happy accidents.
We talk about that as being in alignment of really, it's kind of like starting with that value of selfless service and really knowing ourselves, knowing our purpose. And when we're in full alignment with that, and we see ourselves as part of the bigger picture, we see ourselves as really a vital cell in the body of creation here. When we know ourselves as that, it's so much easier to go into that faithful living and go into alignment, even when sometimes you turn down the toughest things.
Absolutely. And I repeat over, it is in your own self-interest to forget your self-interest. And one of the things I say in the introduction to my book is I said, Trappist monks don't just know how to make things happen. They know how to let things happen. Success comes to the monks. And this is the deepest, and I say that in my book, I said, this is probably the deepest and most profound secret that they have to share with you that I'm trying to share in my book, Business Secrets of the Trappist Monk. How do you become accident prone, as my old Zen teacher used to say? What we're talking about, happy accidents. How do you become happy accident prone? And you do that by selflessness, by giving, by putting the interest, having a higher purpose in your life. And I'm a spiritual person, so I believe God comes first, and however you want to define God is up to you, but God comes first in your life.
And I like that word allowing. It's really, that's such a powerful energy when we really learn how to just allow, to rest in that.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way trust works. I mean,
yeah.
You have to just allow this trust to grow, allow trust to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, there's all kinds of tricks of the trade in order to encourage trust. For example, one of the things that I say is that never make people ask. If I borrow $5 from you and you have to ask me to pay it back, and then as soon as you ask me, I whip it out of my pocket and give it to you, I've still lost half of the credibility, because you're going to walk away thinking, if I hadn't asked him for it, he'd never have given it to me. He was hoping that I'd forgot about it. He was hoping that I would never bring it up. And so you're going to walk away with a bad taste in your mouth, even though you got the $5 back. So in all of our areas of our lives, never make people ask for things that we know that they have coming, because when you give somebody something without being asked, when you anticipate your obligations, the dividend that you get in trust is far larger than the transaction itself.
Oh, August, I could just do this for a marathon, hours and hours. There's so many amazing lessons that you have in the book and from your life experience. Thank you so much. Maybe you can come back again. I really appreciate you being on the show with us today.
Well, I've just had a ball, and I'd love to be back anytime you'll have me.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna keep you in the loop, because there's so many amazing things you can do for all of us here. So I appreciate you sharing your wisdom. And everyone,
thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And everyone, come back again. We're here every Tuesday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Make connection your intention and live into your wholeness. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as you journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com for next week's guests and to catch up on past shows. See you next week.